Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is Trish Hall, and it is my privilege to be the host for this evening. I'm a spiritual leader of Center for Spiritual Living Metro, the sponsor of Art of Living Spiritually. We are a wonderfully diverse group from all parts of the greater Washington, D.C. metro area. I invite you to join us. We encourage you to be you with us, to open to your divinity and discover your pure potentiality and celebrate what is uniquely, awesomely you, to be mindfully, wonderfully you. From across the greater metro area, we gather together recognizing that we are all expressions of the one divine creator. We feel the impulsion of spirit to grow individually and support one another. We meet on Sundays at the Arlington Arts Center, 3550 Wilson Boulevard, Arlington, at 10 a.m. on Sundays, and then prior to that, from 9:15 to 9:45 on Sundays, we have meditation. And so please come and join us for any or all of that. Mastery of the art of living spiritually is the ability to fully embrace the truth of your spiritual essence and live from that in every area of your life. How we arrive at mastery is by developing our power of inward choice and using it to transform our lives from ordinary to extraordinary, from menial to magnificent, from humdrum to sacred. It's a most rewarding path that is deceptively simple and as easy or challenging as you make it. It's soul work at its finest, if you allow it to be. So please check us out at cslmetro.org. Find out what else is going on besides our Sundays. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter as well. So this evening we're going to talk about baby steps or giant leaps. Those are little steps or big steps. So I ask you, when are baby steps the best way to go? When do they just not work? Taking only baby steps can become a habit and shackle us to thinking small, being classic underachievers. Spirit expressing as you is not an underachiever. As Anais Nin declared, and the day came when the risk it took to remain tight inside the bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom. And so are you ready to blossom? What do you need to be bold? When do you know not to be bold? Not to out of fear, but instead because you have listened and followed divine guidance. So I have a whole list of questions for you this evening. What causes us to choose incremental steps? Is it a choice or is it just a habit, a conditioned reflex? Are we opting to allow circumstance to control us? Are we drawing on the wisdom of spirit that resides in each of us? What causes us to opt for giant leaps? Is it desire? Is it that level of discomfort that has risen so high that we are compelled or even propelled to do something different? What is our decision process? How do we have multiple processes or just one process? What causes us to use one approach or another? These are all questions that we will be addressing this evening. And so for right now, I want you to just listen along as I read the words to In the Silence by Jack Fowler, which, by the way, is a beautiful song if you're not familiar with it, you might want to check it out on YouTube. Anyway, so the lyrics go, in the silence there is peace. In the silence there is unspoken joy. In the silence there's release from a world full of chaos and noise. So I wait for these precious moments when I hear all that could never be said. And right here in this holy silence, I find God, I find myself. Well, the current international conditions look and feel a lot like chaos and noise. Uncertainty and instability seem to be the norm. And that's when we need to remember to use the conscious intelligence that is imbued in us to remind us that we have tools, mental tools, to direct and select our processes. So we are expressions of spirit. That is, spirit is expressing as human. We cannot be separated from spirit. It is the being, it is being each of us. We are an amalgamation endowed with the ability to use our intellect to choose our path of life, drawing on the wisdom of spirit, the wisdom of the universe, to guide us. This is awesome to contemplate. We are endowed with an intellect that has the power to choose at all times, in all situations, just how we will be. We have the power to update and upgrade our lives at any time we want and are willing to put in the mental energy and self-discipline to do so. Dr. Ernest Holmes, founder of Science of Mind, said, "Start with this simple proposition. The nature of God, of man, and of being is perfect, harmonious, and whole." That is the truth. That is our spiritual nature. And Holmes went on to say, "Metaphysicians generally believe that God is the life principle through which individuals derive their nature as intelligent, self-choosing entities. It is this divine nature that makes it possible for us to use our intelligence to immerse in and draw upon one mind. This mind is both the mind of man and the mind of God. This mind is the essence of creativeness and the essence of goodness. It is available to all. Individuals can feel a connection to this intelligence as a deep sense of inner communion, as a spontaneous, irresistible union. Individuals who have consciously entered into a spiritual path, who have opted to be grounded in their spirituality, clearly see and feel this truth. All of our challenges, regardless of their nature or size, share one common cause. We have not accepted our full spiritual inheritance. Instead, we have accepted undesirable conditions and situations that pour into our experience and then we turn around and try to combat them at their own level. That's a perfect formula for failure. Who consciously wants to be a loser? Then it is time for us to do differently, to choose to live life spiritually. When we shift our approach to living spiritually, we change our lives dramatically and dynamically. The real good news here is that The really good news here is that when you really get the enormity of your potentiality, you understand that you already have the ability to change what isn't working. It's already in you. You simply haven't put it to use. You just need to work on the art of living spiritually. Change your thinking, shift your belief, experience life anew. So let's look at those initial questions in order to put much of this in perspective and alert you to just how awesome and powerful you are. So, what causes us to choose incremental little steps? Is it habit, conditioned reflex? How many times have you done something simply because that's just the way I do it, or that's just the way we do it? And so this is living by default, brainlessly. Routine is a rut, or there's an old expression that says that routine is simply a rut, a coffin with it. Are we opting to allow circumstance to control us? There are two habitual aspects to this. Recurring circumstances trigger old habits. Laziness greets the easy way, default. And then the possibility circumstances that may be frightening call in the voice of fear. And she or he rather than call in the voice of fear rather than clear thinking. We are literally blinded by that voice, the voice that takes command and makes decisions for us based on past experience, often exaggerated, so exaggerated that it can paralyze us. In a song by Jana Stanfield and called If I Were Brave, the question is, if I refuse to listen to the voice of fear, would the voice of courage whisper in my ear? That's a powerful question, because if I refuse to listen to the voice of fear, then there's that space for me to listen to my voice of courage, speaking personally back a ways before I had the spiritual tools that I am blessed with now, thank heaven, thank God. I had a voice of fear that was so loud and so obnoxious. My voice of fear was a terrorist. I would come up with some great idea or some great opportunity, and by the time my voice of fear had eroded my belief in my own ability to do whatever it was that I wanted to do, I just threw in the towel. It would paralyze me. It would stop me from moving forward. So the question, if I refuse to listen to the voice of fear, would the voice of courage whisper in my ear? I believe it does. I know mine does now. My voice of courage has taken on a boldness, and it has taken it on partly simply because it is an aspect of me that I didn't used to have. But also, it's based on the conviction that I am a spirit. I am the expression of spirit, and therefore I have within me resources, totally untapped resources at this point. They are so immense. So it's all too easy to fall into the habit of thinking small, of tolerating less than, simply because history makes it so. So is it wisdom when it comes to these questions? Is it wisdom? Sometimes the voice of reason steps in to guide us in relation to circumstances. Perhaps there is a very real danger. So using a baby step is the right thing to do. The question here is, who's in charge? Is it the blinding, paralyzing voice of fear, or the thinking, strategic voice of reason? Or is it the bold voice of courage? How do we discern which voice is which? Well, is it my choice? Is it a choice? Many people don't realize that it is a choice. Some people claim that's just how I am and don't get it that who you are, how you're showing up in the world, is totally a matter of choice. Are you drawing on wisdom of spirit that resides in each of us? Spirit in us, as us, is the direct link to the wisdom of the ages, and an intelligence far greater than could possibly have been acquired in our individual human lifetime. How can we determine whether it is better to take baby steps or make a giant leap? To an infant, baby step is a big deal. To an ant, a mountain is not overwhelming. You just start off one grain at a time, and pretty soon you've moved the whole mountain. Shifts in consciousness are made incrementally. A new perspective, a different vantage point, a presence of compassion, a sense of empathy. What causes us to opt for giant leaps? Selecting the right approach can happen in an instant, using our intellect then drawing upon divine guidance. David Lloyd George suggests, don't be afraid to take a big step. You can't cross a chasm in two small jumps. Circumstance may dictate move now, and divine guidance, a divinely guided intelligence says, one giant leap, two small ones aren't the answer here. Leverage. How are we to leverage what we do have? How are we to put it to most use so that it is most rewarding to us and most beneficial to those around us? Habitual thinking says there is one way to do something. Intuition, that is that which comes from spirit in us as us, opens us to possibilities. Wisdom leans into possibilities, bringing with it skill, knowledge, talent, and abilities. Is the decision, is your decision, simply desire and put forth it at any given time? A decision cycle can be fascinating. Very few of us, on a percentage basis, simply opt to move in a given direction. Most of us have to reach a level of discomfort that is sufficiently high that we are compelled or propelled to do something different than before we'll act. This relates back to Anais Nin's statement about, and the day came when the risk it took to remain tight inside the bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom. So, what is your decision process? Do you wait until you are so uncomfortable in a situation that you then bolt out of that decision process? Take a moment and consider, how do you make your decisions? Do you really, truly decide on a desire and then just move toward it? Or do you take in all sorts of wonderful other input? And it's appropriate to gather other input. The only question is, do you let divert you from where you desire to go, or is that process in support of where you desire to go? So, what is your decision process? Most of us have multiple context-specific processes. We assess circumstances based on feelings, beliefs, perceived outcomes using our intellect. We go into the stillness, sensing with every faculty and open to spirit in us, as us, guiding from within and outside. We seek numinous experiences of knowing without reasoning or knowledge, discerning and entering, wow, the holy and wholly experiential sense of the divine. We recognize this wow sense, this direct experience, is the essence of all shifts of consciousness. We understand how the tiniest change at the quantum level, that is immeasurably small, can result in an abrupt change, sudden increase, or dramatic advance. It's those tiny shifts that have the big results. Once experienced, as Helen Keller said, one can never consent to creep when one feels an impulse to soar. Once you have actually discerned the divine guidance of spirit within you, how could you ever revert to making decisions based solely on the fact, on circumstance, on effect? You are divinely designed to co-create your entire life. As I mentioned last week, you have the ability to clean up errors, solve misunderstandings, heal hurts, and the list goes on. The circumstances of your life are consequence of your choices. We live in the law of cause and effect. Our circumstances or conditions are simply consequences of our choices coming into form. Every choice has a consequence. Some are good, some are not. The not so good consequences can be altered simply by making new and hopefully better choices. Our thoughts are how we set the law of cause and effect in motion. Our thoughts work through the avenue of one mind. Conditions are always the externalization of thought. It follows that they can be controlled by changing the thought, by thinking constructively. This is where it all becomes quite self-evident. If our thoughts attracted positive experiences into our lives, awesome. If our thoughts, particularly our habitual thoughts, have brought less than positive circumstances into our lives, we have the ability and the authority to change our thoughts and therefore transmute the negative situation. Let's step back for a bit. Carolyn Mace stated, it's not what we choose that is important. It is the reason we choose it. Returning to some of our earlier questions, in light of Carolyn's statement, what we choose is the effect of why we choose what we choose. The why is the cause in cause and effect. Only you can delve into your own why. Only you can unveil what prompts your why. Is it your reliance on facts and circumstances in the world of form? Or is it the outpicturing of you leaning into spirit? Only you can answer those two questions about what is your why and why are you seeking what you see. So we create a mental atmosphere that surrounds us. We are each unique individuations of the one mind, and we are all immersed in the collective thought of the whole human race. And so as we are swimming around in that ocean of common beliefs, we have the ability to choose how we will relate to that ocean of mixed beliefs. And we also have the power and force that our thoughts are transformative. On their own, they have, the moment that we have them, they have power. So a person's mind is the use of one mind, God mind, to the level of that person's understanding. Dr. Holmes declared, all individual minds, your own mind included, are merely different activities of the infinite mind. This mind is the law of your life. When you speak, it speaks within you. Thus, your thought becomes the law of your life because the law of one mind already resides at the center of your being. So how do you perceive your world? What do you believe about what you are? That perception is reflected in each and every decision you make. If you know that you are an expression of the divine, if you know that you're an activity of God as love, for instance, you make decisions from a very different place than someone who is living in fear and doubt and is constantly at ill ease. So your belief about yourself creates the vessel in which you frame your world. Courage, or lack of it, arises from that belief. Calmness, integrity, congruency are some of the other innumerable facets. The huge question comes down to, how then shall you live? How then shall you live knowing that you are spirit, knowing that you are imbued with an intellect that gives you the power to make decisions, and those decisions can include, and I recommend it, that before you make any decision in the world of form, that you go inside, you go to that stillness. You set aside the chaos and noise of the world. And instead, you go into that stillness and you listen. You turn up the sensory capacity of your entire body so that you can glean from that experience how you are to be. And then you can take that knowledge and go forth into the world in courage and confidence, stepping forward, stepping out, having spirituality be how you are in the world in every aspect of your life. That instead of segmenting your spiritual over here and not over here, no, just be that spiritual being wherever you are, however you are. And so that huge question is the question I leave you with this evening. How then shall you be knowing that you are spirit, knowing that this human form has a certain duration, but you are immortal, eternal spirit, that you are a gift to the world. The world is not given to you. You have been given to the world, and you are each here to touch and transform the lives of other people. You are each here in order to bring forth a world that works for everyone. So, do you consciously commit to remember, to bring it to the forefront, moment by moment, that you are spirit in expression. And then check in regularly. Be your own mindful observer. Do your behaviors align with that spiritual knowing? Do your decisions arise from that spiritual knowing? I affirm on behalf of you, the answer is yes. And if you find that the answer is not yes, remember, you have the power to choose. You have the power to change. If what you are engaged in is not working for you, if it isn't generating the desired experience of the wonderful, rich, grand life that some of us are enjoying, then change something. And keep adjusting, using those incremental changes, those small changes, until you have honed out a life that is rich and fulfilling and exactly how you desire it to be. And I am hoping that part of that desired experience will be for you to come and participate in spiritual community. Come join us, Center for Spiritual Living Metro, every Sunday. We have service at 10 o'clock. We have meditation from 9:15 to 9:45 each Sunday before that. We have classes and various guest presenters, and they are all noted on our website. So go to www.cslmetro.org. Find out what else we're doing. Check us out on Facebook and other social media. In the meantime, know that you are spirit in expression. I like to think of us as we are each activities of God as love in expression. And since the divine creator does not have hands and a voice and with which to deliver the love that God is, we get to be the deliverers of divine love. And so wherever you are on your spiritual path, whatever is going on in your life at this point, please know you are welcome at Center for Spiritual Living Metro. We encourage you to come check us out. Peace and blessings. Bye for now.